Our sermon text today is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 14. Again, let's hear the word of our God. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your sure and perfect word. The unfolding of your word gives light. Please do so now. Grant us understanding to glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When I was around 10 to 12 years old, my family took a vacation to the Black Hills of South Dakota. And one of the things that we did there, we went on a tour of a cave where you walked through with a tour guide. And at one point, after having gone quite a ways into the cave, the tour guide stopped us all and he turned out the lights. Now, this was before cell phones. So no one could pull out their phone and turn on their flashlight or anything like that. There was absolutely no light at all. You could put your hand right in front of your face and you couldn't see anything. The tour guide then proceeded to tell us a little bit about the darkness in the cave. He said that a person left in there would go blind after 30 days. And after 60 days, he would go insane. Now, I don't know where he came up with that information. After a little searching on the internet, I'm pretty sure those were myths. You probably wouldn't necessarily go blind or insane. But it was a memorable experience for a young boy to go in there. And to think about what it would be like in total darkness. Now, the passage that we have looked at last week and now continuing to look at this week contrasts a lifestyle of darkness with a lifestyle of light. And darkness as evil, light as good, those are common metaphors in Scripture. I think if we think about some of the differences between light and darkness, I think it will shed some light on this passage. Darkness and light obviously don't go together. When my family and I were in that cave and the lights were out, darkness was everywhere. Everything was hidden. You couldn't do anything productive because you couldn't see what you were doing. You might bump into something or trip over something or fall down a big hole somewhere. If it had stayed that way, we would have been trapped. But darkness doesn't like the light. As soon as the lights were turned back on, the darkness vanished. It completely disappeared. No, there were shadows in places, but there was still light there. In those shadows, it wasn't complete darkness. We started looking at this passage last week, and we noted it contrasts a lifestyle of darkness with a lifestyle of light. The first paragraph was Paul's description of a lifestyle of darkness. We looked at that last week. That lifestyle was filled with sexual immorality, covetousness, obscene conduct, coarse jesting. And of course, that's not all the sins in a lifestyle of darkness, but those were the sins that Paul emphasized. And Paul said anyone living that kind of a lifestyle could be certain they would have no inheritance in the kingdom. They can only look forward to judgment. All of the sins that Paul emphasized in that lifestyle are corruption of God's gifts. Instead of receiving as blessings, God's gifts are turned into curses, and they're used against other people to manipulate or harm them. None of that is fitting for God's children. What is fitting is a lifestyle of giving thanks. And Paul says the sins of this lifestyle of darkness, they shouldn't even be able to be named among God's people. Of course, in Paul's time and today in our time, accusations can always be made. But Paul is saying there should be no truth in any such accusation against God's people. And it's because of sins like that that the wrath of God will come. So Paul commands us, do not be partakers with them. In other words, do not share or participate with those who do these things. And last week we touched just a little bit on the first sentence of the next paragraph, verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The wording is interesting. You might expect it to say, you were in darkness, or you were walking in darkness. But Paul doesn't word it that way. Instead, he says, you were darkness. In the same way, it doesn't say, now you are in the light. It says, now you are light. And instead of walk in the light, Paul says, walk as children of the light. What does Paul mean when he speaks of darkness and light and he contrasts them in that way? Well, he is emphasizing the change that has happened to us. In Colossians chapter 1, he speaks about these things, but he has a different emphasis there. So there it's worded a little differently. In Colossians 1, he says, prior to becoming Christians, we were in the domain of darkness, but we've been transferred to the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Now, when we were transferred, we didn't just get placed in a new environment, an environment of light instead of darkness. What it says here in Ephesians, Paul says, we were darkness. So before, along with being in the domain of darkness, we actually were darkness. In order to have darkness, you have to have the absence of light. Wherever there's light, darkness disappears. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So before Christ, we had no light in us. We were darkness. And in varying amounts and degrees, we spread darkness by what we did and what we said. But now, Paul says, we are light. But notice he says, in the Lord. Even though we have been changed so that we are no longer darkness, we aren't light in ourselves. We are light in the Lord. The only reason we are light now is because we are united with Christ. And he is the light of the world. That's a good reminder for us. We don't stand on our own. It's not even as if God made us as new creations with his light in us. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. So just like Jesus, we also are light, but we are only light because we are united with him. God, who is light, is the source of all light. So the light we project is his light. If we were not in Christ, if we stopped being in Christ, we would have no light. So Paul's command to us is to walk as children of light. Now, children of light there contrasts with sons of disobedience. We saw that back up in verse 6. The sons of disobedience, who we once were, practice and spread darkness. But now, as children of light, we practice and spread light as we shine the light of Christ through our union with Him. And in explaining, as a way of an explanation of how we walk as children of light, Paul gives a parenthetical statement there in verse 9. How do we walk as children of light? He says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Well, how does that answer that question? How do we walk as children of light? Well, it was the Holy Spirit that united us to Christ so that we are light. The Spirit also sealed us, and He continues to work in us. The natural result of His presence and work, in other words, the natural fruit of His presence and work in us, is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So as the Spirit works in us, instead of works of darkness, we do works of light. And the fruit that results is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we walk as children of light by working with the Spirit as He works in us, producing the fruit of the Spirit. We work with Him as He produces goodness, righteousness, and truth, as He produces it in us and through us. It makes sense that those three things would be fruit produced by the Spirit, because they're all attributes of God. First is goodness. Goodness reminds us of Ephesians 2:10 that we saw earlier. The good works that God created for us to do. He works in us, and we work with Him to do those good works. The second is righteousness. One definition of righteousness is doing what is right in the eyes of God. Romans 6, verse 13 says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Now, your members, they're not only your body parts, you might think of it that way. Really, they include everything about you. Your mind, your skills and abilities, everything. We will constantly be growing maturity, and as we do, we are to use every aspect of who we are in doing and thinking what is right before God. And the third item there is truth. Paul talked about truth in chapter 4, verse 25. We looked at that a few weeks ago. There, it was important because we are members of one another. And we can't trust one another without being truthful with one another. Here, truth is brought in again because it's an attribute of God, and walking as a child of light requires truthfulness. Now, after the parentheses, Paul continues in verse 10. And if we put together what was before the parentheses with what follows, it would say, walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. Obviously, it's obvious that that goodness, righteousness, and truth are pleasing to the Lord. Since Paul just said they were the fruit of the Spirit, that has to be. So what's left to find out here? Well, the principles are clear. But sometimes it takes wisdom, takes searching to know how to work those principles out in day-to-day life. What does it mean to walk as children of light, to be good, righteous, and truthful as husbands, as wives, as children, as masters and servants, even as we are in the battle with the spiritual hosts of wickedness? Those are some of the specific life situations that Paul is going to address in the rest of his letter that we will get to in the coming weeks. But those aren't at all exhaustive. There's still much more to life where we need to figure out what pleases the Lord. There's much we need to pray about. We need to search the scriptures for. We need to learn from one another. And we need to learn from those who have gone before us. Walking as children of light means we're much like small children that love their parents. They want to figure out what pleases their parents and then do those things. We want to know what pleases our Heavenly Father. Not because we're trying to earn favor before Him. Christ has already accomplished everything that can be accomplished there. No, it's because of what Christ has done that we know our Heavenly Father loves us as He does. And His Spirit continues working in us, increasing our maturity. And we, in turn, then we love Him and we're thankful and we want to please Him. We need to work with His Spirit and do all that we can, including renewing our minds to figure out what is acceptable to God in all of life's situations. That's the place of wisdom. Figuring out what we need to do, what do we need to change in ourselves, figuring out how to implement goodness, righteousness, and truth in day-to-day life so that we please our God. That definitely takes prayer. It takes studying the scriptures. It may be good to ask others how they've dealt with whatever particular situation you're dealing with. We need to seek counsel from wise people. All of that is with the goal of figuring out what pleases the Lord. Now, another aspect of light is that it exposes or reveals things. When there is no light, all kinds of things are hidden in darkness. And when light shines, everything that is hidden is made known. It's revealed. Verse 11, Paul says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now, as we saw last week, the prior paragraph about the lifestyle of darkness, it was a warning to those in the church. If someone in the church is living a lifestyle of darkness, they have no inheritance in the kingdom. Paul's command at the end of that paragraph in verse 7 was, "Therefore, do not be partakers of the lifestyle of darkness with them." Well, here we are in verse 11, and it's a very similar command. As children of light, have no fellowship. Do not take part in the unfruitful works of darkness. So Paul contrasts the works of darkness with the fruit of the Spirit. The works of darkness are unfruitful. They're useless for pleasing the Lord. Neither the Spirit nor light is involved. So you can't have any fruit of the Spirit there. It's just like if you took a fruit tree and you put it in the dark, you wouldn't get any fruit. Eventually the tree would just die. Instead of taking part in the works of darkness, we're to expose them. We're light. That's what light does. It exposes things in the darkness. But remember, this is all written to the church. So it's primarily talking about exposing the works of darkness in the church. If we're all light in the church, there shouldn't be any darkness, right? Light and darkness don't go together. So there would be no darkness. But that's the problem. We're still tempted to return to darkness. And we still sin. And as the Spirit works in us, we gradually mature. So more and more our lives grow toward matching the light that we are in Christ. And it's that process of growth, that's one way in which we help one another in the body of Christ. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass," so if he sins, if he takes part in darkness, "well, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Anyone in the church who is involved in the works of darkness needs the light to shine in their life. They need someone who is light to expose their sin, first in themselves and then to others, if necessary. The goal in this is not to smash them, it's to restore them. The goal is confession and repentance and then walking as a child of light. That's the goal. But sadly, it doesn't always happen that way. Some love their sin. They love the darkness too much and they end up walking away from the faith. So what does it mean to expose the works of darkness? How do you do that? Especially when you look at verse 12. It says, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Does that mean we can't speak of the works of darkness they're doing? How can you expose something you can't even speak of? What's Paul saying here? Well, if you look back at the prior paragraph, Paul definitely spoke of several works of darkness. In his other letters, he speaks of many more, even some specific sexual sins, like in 1 Corinthians 5, where a man has his father's wife. So just as light reveals things, sin must be exposed by confronting it with words. That exposes them. So Paul isn't saying we can't do that. But what Paul doesn't do is go into all sorts of details of the works of darkness. They are shameful. We don't need to, nor should we even want to dwell on them. We simply need to expose them so they're repented of and gotten rid of. And another aspect of the shamefulness of the works of darkness is the shame that they cause. They're shameful to others in the church, and they cause shame for the church. When David sinned with Bathsheba and then had confessed his sin, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan the prophet told David that he was forgiven. But in verse 14, Nathan said, "However, because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die." Sin in the church, especially like the works of darkness that Paul has described, it gives place for the world to blaspheme God. One place where we have seen this lately is the many pastors and other church leaders who have been exposed in sexual or abusive sins over the past few years. It causes great harm to people both inside and outside the church, and it enables the world to blaspheme God. It's shameful to have to speak of things done in secret in the church. It's a disgrace to the church. So the earlier the light shines in those situations, the better. There are nearly always small sins that lead up to bigger sins. So we need to expose them and deal with them before they become big. David talks about that progression of sin in Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression." You see the progression there. Secret faults, presumptuous sins, great transgression. As we walk as children of light, we are light. That means we're doing deeds and we're speaking words that produce goodness, righteousness, and truth. And we're involved in one another's lives. In this way, we encourage one another. We spur one another on to love and good deeds, as it says in Hebrews 10:24. So we encourage one another to shine more light. We discourage one another from sin and the works of darkness. In other words, we help one another resist temptation simply by our presence as children of light. When anyone does fall into sin, our light reveals it, sometimes even without words. The fact that we are walking as children of light, doing works of light, that will be used by the Holy Spirit to convict others around us. And when they respond with confession and repentance, it can cut off that progression of sin so they won't get to presumptuous and great sins. Let's come back now to Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 13 says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest or whatever becomes visible is light." What Paul is saying through his argument is not only does light reveal things, but it also transforms things. It's similar to the way uncleanness changed when Jesus came. In the Old Testament, what happened when someone touched something that was unclean? Well, that person became unclean. But when Jesus came, things changed. When he touched people, he didn't become unclean. No, he healed them. He touched them and their leprosy was gone and the unclean became clean. In the same way, the light from Christ transforms those who are darkness into light. This letter was written to the church. So as we've already seen, this first happens in the church. Those who are in the church and have their sins revealed, they respond with repentance. They turn from their darkness to walk as children of light. And that is a wonderful transformation. But this also happens outside the church. As we walk together as children of light, the church is like a light on a hill, as Jesus said. And our light shines in the darkness of the world. Some will see their darkness exposed and they will turn to the light of Christ. And they will become united with Christ and become light as we are. In verse 14, Paul ends this paragraph with what looks like a quotation. And if it is, so far no one has been able to find what he's quoting. The content is similar to Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 2. Some believe it's an early Christian hymn from that time. Wherever it's from, Paul has incorporated it into his letter, and it's now scripture. And it's a call to those in the church, wake up. Arise from the dead. Leave the works of darkness. Christ will give you light. He's the only source of light. He is light, and his light will drive out all darkness. It's a call that we give to one another. As we all walk imperfectly as children of light, we call one another to turn to Christ, to repent when and where that's needed, to fix our hope on Christ, to keep walking with him, to work with his Spirit, doing works of light and producing the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And this, it all begins with worshiping and fellowshipping, eating together on Sundays. But it also implies that we're practicing hospitality and in many other ways. We're getting to know one another. We're helping one another. We're building one another up in Christ. Then also, whenever you bring multiple lights together, of course, the brightness of that light grows. It grows as we build up one another, as we help one another, as we minister to one another. It also grows as we do works of light outside the church, especially when we do them together, and the light becomes more and more visible to the world around us. As a church, we don't want to hide our light. We want the world to see it. As we live among the world and people see and they get to know us, we want them to see and hear Christ. We want to walk as children of light so that our light exposes their darkness. Some will hate it because darkness hates the light. With some, that may be difficult to deal with. But some, as God brings them, will turn to that light, and they will also become light in Christ. Paul commands us to walk as children of light. That affects everything that we do. And we have to apply wisdom to figure out how to do that in every situation that comes up. We need to work together in figuring out what is wisdom in those situations. We need to remember we're not doing that on our own. The Holy Spirit is working in us. If he wasn't, we couldn't do it at all. So we work with him, and we also have the church. We should never see this command as just given to us as individuals. No, it's given to us as a church. Every one of us has a part to play in that. So together as a church, let's walk as children of light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are light. And in you is no darkness at all. You have made us light in Christ. Grant us wisdom to project that light in every situation to all those around us. Make it clear that we are yours as you glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.